This is your 101.7 The Truth News Update.
Hello, everyone. This is Rhea Riley with your news update. The city of Milwaukee will provide an update today on its efforts to crack down on illegal dumping. In spring, Milwaukee Mayor Cavalier Johnson announced the city would begin a pilot program deploying hidden cameras to catch offenders in the act. The Department of Neighborhood Services says two people have now been fined $25,000 for illegal dumping. The Common Council voted unanimously to approve a flat $5,000 fine in April. A federal judge's report deals a setback to the Milwaukee judge facing federal obstruction charges. U.S. Magistrate Judge Nancy Joseph is recommending against granting a motion to dismiss Judge Hannah Dugan's case. She writes that absolute immunity does not apply to criminal cases against judges, and neither does a Supreme Court ruling that President Donald Trump has immunity. Judge Dugan is accused of helping an undocumented migrant evade ICE agents at the Milwaukee courthouse. The judge for her trial, U.S. District Judge Lynn Adelman, will make a final decision on the motion to dismiss. A scheduling conference is set for Wednesday. Another Walgreens location is set to close, this time in southeast Wisconsin. The location near 76 and Mill in Milwaukee will close its pharmacy July 1st and the rest of the store July 28th. A Racine location near Memorial and State will close August 5th. The pharmacy inside the downtown Milwaukee location at the Avenue is also closing, but the front end of the store is staying open. Walgreens plans to close 1,200 stores across the country over the next 3 years. This has been your news update. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on the new 101.7 The Truth.
Bringing you his authentic perspectives on important topics.
They live in suburbs together. They live in the city together. They hang out together, all in the same family. We're the only idiots that fight because we want our voice to only be on one side. Like, does that even make any sense? And when the side loses, you lose everything. They, on the other hand, have a voice no matter what because somebody that looks like them is always in control.
Frank, candid, and straight to the point.
Well, it's just a skewed system.
Of course it is.
It's a lot of adjustment.
But answer my question, though. Should we let people go? Should we let people go? Like, let's just forget about bail altogether. And if your neighbor commits a homicide and kills people up. If you kill people and they next to you and you just let them come back and live right next to you, they can live upstairs from you. Let them come in your house.
Frank, candid and straight to the point. This is the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth and The Truth app.
Now, he's the mayor of the city of Milwaukee. He's a young man. Give him a chance. I only complain about things that I care about. What I want you to do is pretend like I'm in St. Louis. And all I'm asking the mayor and the Common Council president and the Common Council, show me.
Now, live from the American Family Insurance Studio at the Avenue in the heart of downtown Milwaukee, here is Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 833-212-1017 is the number. For those of you that are, do they still call them haters? Anyway, for those of you that are haters, the reason why the doctor is in my name, well, you have Cherie Harris and Kyle Wallace to thank for that because they decided that it would be cool. And so here I am. So don't get mad. It wasn't a vain thing. It wasn't a planned thing. It wasn't an egotistical thing. It was a management thing. I guess it's all right. Although now I can't disappear. See, late, you know, before Dr. Ken, and it's like 10 million of them in the country, and now Dr. Ken, it's only like 5 million. Hard to run and hide, although there are people in the city of Milwaukee with the same name. I tried to explain to some people that I was not that person, and no, it is not me that owes the, what was it, a Blockbuster bill or something crazy. I was like, no, that's not me. I don't know what you're talking about. But they decided they wanted to make sure I quit. Some stuff's just not worth it. Worrying about what other people think, worrying about what other people say. That, and I lost my train of thought. So, because you know how that goes. Glenn is laughing like, huh? Glenn's like, how can you be so transparent? I'm like, well, because on YouTube, see, people are seeing it. And they're like, huh? What's he talking about? But I get that a lot. I've gotten that my entire life. I was at you know how sometimes you think one thing and then you say the other half and people look at you like, and then somebody said, well, that's random. I'm like, yeah, a lot of things I do is random. Very random. 833-212-1017 is the number. Always remember, you can stream and watch us on YouTube at 1017thetruth.com. Either one, just make sure you subscribe and hit the notification bell so you never miss a show. Not one single solitary minute of a live show like Kwanda Dukes does every day. Good afternoon, Kwanda. How are you? Hope everything is doing well. Let me check the talking text line. Y'all don't talk to me on the talking text line anymore. Y'all used to. Old school talks to me on the talk and text line. Gen X and below talk to me on the on the YouTube chat. But either way, you just realize there are just some things in life you have to do. I heard some complaining about society and about the world and things that are happening. So my car, stopped working and it went into recovery mode or whatever they call it, lock mode, where your car thinks something's bad's going to happen, so it shuts down and drives at, 20 miles an hour. That's the other issue you have with a foreign car. When it gets sick, it tells itself, hey, yeah, I need to shut down because I don't want something bad to happen. And so I went from driving at 70 miles an hour to 20 miles an hour. And so I have to take it in tomorrow to get it checked and all that. And I'm debating, do I just want another car note? Do I want another car note? Or do I just buy a used car, call it a day? But if I buy a used car, it's got to be certified, right? I'm also thinking of the future. Year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, what's that going to look like? And so you have to be very sure that whatever you do today can work out tomorrow and the next day, and it can be on automatic and you don't really have to think about it, right? That means that you have to do certain things now so that in the future when things happen, you really don't have that big of a deal. Or I can just get it fixed and go about my business. Right? Just get it fixed and go about my business. Now, it has significantly high mileage. And I've gotten out of that car probably what other people have gotten, probably less than half out of theirs. But I'm not a drive a car like a maniac and speed and hit the brake. I think once since 2017. And it was only one tire that I got brakes adjusted, like a pad. That was it, or whatever they call it. That was it. I don't ride my brakes. I don't wear them out. I stop before I'm supposed to. I don't peel off. I think I have the same pair of tires I've had for the last 5 years. And that takes planning. That takes slowing down and thinking about what you're doing today. And it's going to dictate what happens tomorrow. But there seems to be this thing in the world. And, you know, I talked about that guy in New York who is a socialist, but actually he's not a socialist. He's a communist. There's a distinct difference. And So he follows Karl Marx. And if you think that you're going to get something easy or get something to work for nothing, he's lying to you. And there's some things in life that you're going to have to do in order to make tomorrow work. And so there are some realities you have to understand as you move forward. If you're 35 and under, there are some things you have to realize. If you're 36 and up or 35 and up, you need to realize there are some things in life that are going to affect you, right? You'll learn that making more money doesn't solve problems. Many times it creates more, but you can plan for it, right? So, five things you need to know over the next 5 years. Number one, it's always been expensive to live in a major city. So you got a guy running for mayor in New York who's saying real estate should be free, who's going to literally decimate the entire real estate market in New York and then destroy the stock market for everybody that invests in real estate. Think about that. Because he thinks those that don't have should have. Well, guess what? There's a reason why you're under 35 struggling and trying to make ends meet. It's because that's how life teaches you things. That's how it teaches you to have the resilience and the fight to make it through. Chicago mayor, who's a self-described socialist, has somewhere between a 6 and 11% approval rating. And that knucklehead fool will probably get reelected. Why? Because people think they're going to get something free. Meanwhile, they had over 50 shootings and 6 homicides on the 4th of July. I don't think that was the weekend. This is the byproduct of that type of thinking. Don't better yourself. Make rich people take care of you. Well, when they move, where's the money going to go? It's going to go with them. And nobody in their right mind in America is going to work from the ground up like you're doing, build up a nest egg, and then give it away because somebody says you have too much money. Meanwhile, they don't have any and they didn't do anything to get it. So number one, it's always going to be expensive to live in a big city. You could move, but it's always going to be expensive. Number two, God invented roommates and second jobs for a reason, to help. Sometimes you got to work multiple jobs. Sometimes you got to work 2 full-time jobs. Sometimes you do what you have to do. But there's no take it easy, because if you don't appreciate hard work now, you're not going to appreciate it later. If you're lazy now, you're going to be lazy later. Number three, take in one day of your life, all right? Today is just one day. My day was crappy. It rained on top of that. Had to drop people off on top of that. Car stop. Had to take it home. Had to get down. All that stuff happened. But today is just one day in my life. I can't let it define the rest of my life, the rest of my week. I can't let it define the rest of my day. Something bad happened today. Yeah, life sucks. It's terrible sometimes. But in all the greatness you've had and all the wonderful times you've had, one bad day is going to destroy everything, including your future? Makes no sense. Number four, you'll get what you want when you can handle what you want. You have got to realize that right now, I want $1 million. You can't handle $1 million. Because if you can't handle $1 million at 30, you're not going to be able to handle $1 million at 50 or 60 or 70 unless you work your way there. You gradually build to have it. Otherwise, you're wasting time. That is why you see people, and somebody reminded me of this when I was in college. You ever notice, I was driving with a professor. I don't know if he's still alive, C.P. Harding from Illinois State University. And he worked at State Farm. He ran their communications. That's where I did my internship. And he ran their communications department. He was a director. And he taught a class, and he ended up connecting me for a summer internship. And one of the things he told me while we were riding in his 2-seater red Mercedes, in Normal, Illinois. I asked, I said, wow. I said, how old are you? And he said, about 50-ish. And I said, well, how did you get all this? He said, I worked for it. He said, well, did you have it? And he told me how he grew up and how it was tough and all this other stuff. And you wouldn't have known it by what you saw. And I said, well, why didn't you have this sooner? Like, why didn't you get all this stuff sooner? He said, because I wouldn't have been able to handle it had I got it too soon. He said, sometimes people arc too soon in life and then burn out. You see it in basketball players, football players, hockey players, sports people. They go from 22 out of college to 22 million. And by the time they're 42, they're at zero. When you can't handle it, you can't have it. That's why as you grow, your salary grows, your house grows, your car grows, your wealth grows, your family grows. And next thing you know, boom, you've made it. And then you've built up the intestinal fortitude to handle what you want. And then number five, patience is a virtue. Yeah, we all know that. As long as it's part of a plan. Because if you don't have a plan, it really doesn't matter. The problem with most people is they have a plan, and when the plan doesn't go the way they think it should go, they panic, they shut down, they quit. Or they just struggle through, and then the plan fails. But it wasn't failure, it was learning. But you have to have a plan to actually change. If you don't have a plan, you have no idea where you're going. You have no idea what the end goal is. The plan can have 2 points, where I'm starting, where I want to end up. And then you work it through on your own. But you got to know where it is you're going. And so as I've started to plan the next few years, today helped me. We were talking about it. So you going to buy a car? Or you going to get a car payment? I haven't had a car payment in 30 years. I don't know what to do about that. And then, of course, two of the illustrious producers here at 101.7 The Truth reminded me, well, we're not even 30 years old yet. To which I reminded them, that's your problem, not mine. But think about it. I had to have had a plan and been patient and worked through careers in order to have a choice to decide whether or not I want a car note or not. To decide whether or not I want a car. Don't want to even bother for a car. I don't know. But in the end, there's only one thing you have to have in order to get through all of that. The expensive living, the struggling, the second job, Lord knows the roommate. Dealing with what happens in your day. Don't let it ruin you. Making sure you get what you want because you're patient. It's only one thing it takes. It's kind of simple. And it's probably it's the hardest thing people do. You see, we love being bosses to everybody else. But we'll never be a boss to ourselves. If we were a boss to ourselves with the failures that we have, we would fire ourselves. Like, we would literally fire ourselves for the poor, lackadaisical way we run our lives. But make today a new day. And like every day, it starts with one thing. Self-leadership.
And that is Dr. Ken's Truth on the new 101.7 The Truth. You are listening to Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. I was just on some Donna Summer today, so I was just going to be a Donna Summer day. 833-212-1017 is the number. I want to talk to you about Pella Windows in Dorset, Wisconsin. For windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella Experience. And the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield lets you see and compare dozens of windows and door options. So stop in this Thursday. I'll be there. Everybody from The Truth will be there, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. to see the hosts from 101.7 The Truth, WTMJ, and ESPN live in the Pella showroom. Schedule your in-home consultation for a chance to win amazing prizes. Brewers tickets and giveaways from the season, a game-worn jersey, Badgers, College Game Day tailgate, State Fair, Green Bay tickets, and more. Winners will be chosen every 2 hours. Don't miss your chance to win $2,000 off your minimum purchase of $5,000 when you hold your appointment before July 31st. Don't have time to stop in? You can also schedule an appointment by calling Pella or at PellaWI.com on July 10th. That's Thursday to be entered in to the raffles. The earlier you enter, the more chances you have to win throughout the day. Order by July 31st, you get 0% interest, up to 5 years. Certain restrictions apply. Go to PellaWI.com, P-E-L-L-A-W-I.com. Looking forward to seeing all y'all out yonder in Pella, in Brookfield, at their Experience Center. 833-212-1017 is the number. Weather, oh my gosh, what is the weather like? Currently, it is about, wait a minute. That's hourly. I don't want hourly. I want right now. It's 77 degrees, showers. Tonight it'll drop to a low of around 66 degrees. Let me see what else. Winds are from the south southwest at about 10 miles an hour. Humidity is at 74%. Pressure's dropping, so rain gonna keep coming. Off and on throughout the evening. So if you go out, make sure you get one of those things called an umbrella, maybe even a jacket. Hey, so question about technology. You know, every Tuesday I got a technology question. It's like a Tech Tuesday thing, right? So how can we help our community deal with technology? It's so broad and it's so wide and it's so vast, but we ask people what they know about technology, and I was watching a panel discussion yesterday, and they talked about how 99% of Black people are clueless about technology. Think about that. 99% of Black people are completely clueless. Do you agree with that?
I would say no.
Okay.
I just feel like technology is so woven into everything that we do nowadays with television and phone.
Can you explain anything in technology and how it works? Or do you just use it?
We talking about hardwiring and all that other stuff like that, or how deep are we going with this?
You tell me. But see, that's my point. People say they use using technology. That's like me saying you're a great mechanic because you know how to drive a car. Are you a great mechanic because you know how to drive a car? Absolutely not. But you know about cars. You can change brakes. Yeah, but you're not a mechanic. And so I know technology, but like cars, I'm at about 99%. I know 1% about cars. And after that, I think the general public's like that too. Can you code?
I cannot.
Do you understand or how to write and create an algorithm?
No, that looks like scribble to
me.
Do
you understand how they work? Watch this. Have you ever taken math?
Yes.
Algebra?
Yes.
Geometry?
Yes.
Then you can write code. You can create an algorithm. Barring some extra training and a little bit of calculus in terms of understanding the process, you can do it. So what's the minimum we should have? Like, I think every human being should know how to code. You should have basic introduction to computer science and how they work. Like, I can literally fix stuff because I understand what the circuitry is and how it's supposed to work and then I find on it and I do it. I do that with stuff before I open up the book on how to run it. I'll go through it and play with it and figure it out, and then go through the book and go, oh, I had like 5 of the 6 steps correct. But most people aren't like that. You have to know technology now. The problem is 99% of black folks don't understand technology. You know the other problem with that? 99% of white folks don't either. At all. We're using technology to drive cars, buses, trucks. We're using technology to fix things, to write things. And I'm sorry, if you use technology to write something, that's sad. Unless you source it. That's pretty sad. It is. That's pretty sad. But the bottom line is, technology is going to hurt us or it's going to enhance your life. And the more you understand about it, understanding basic cybersecurity tells you that you should have multi-factor authentication on everything you do. Tells you that your phone should be set to lock automatically. That I don't use face recognition on certain things. To unlock my phone, if you don't know the code, you're not going to get it. But in order to fix it, right, what bit encryption do you need to have to ensure that nobody gets in? We used to think 256-bit encryption, oh, it's good enough, until somebody used a computer and an algorithm to break it. Now it's 512. Now it's one whatever, whatever, whatever. Why? Because it's going to take that many calculations. Right? And if you just understand math and understand a number to the 512th power, good luck with that. I'll do it by hand. Right. See, technology helps. Technology doesn't hurt. So anybody that tells you technology is going to ruin your life is lying to you. Technology is not going to take over. Some people are going to lose jobs. They're going to still need people to monitor, to do risk management, to do quality control, to do all those things. So you're not going away. You're going to get retooled, right? You remember the last time this happened? Horse and buggy. From about 1840 to about 1912, horse and buggy. That fool building that thing with an engine from that he got from Daimler over in Germany. Dumb. It'll never fly. What do we use horses for now? Glue factory. But you know what the majority of people were doing as a job that gave them a middle class wage? Putting shoes on horses. It went away. Now we got cars. We constantly do the same thing. Oh my God, we got this thing. They invented in the 1940s or 50s, a calculator. It's going to destroy math. You still got to sit there and put the numbers in it. All it does is make it faster to be able to do harder computation, but you still have to what? Understand math. Math didn't go away. It's just a tool. But yet, we don't know anything about technology. We keep being told technology is going to destroy us. It's going to shut us down. Look at radio. It's digital. Same concept. The problem is we're teaching technology and not the concept. So all we know how to do is put things together, but we don't understand depth. We don't understand balance. We don't understand trim. We just do it. But why is it like that? Those things. But when you came from analog, you know, like reel-to-reel tape, and you understand the process digitally, you just do it faster. But if you don't understand balance, you don't understand left and right and all the technical behind, it doesn't mean anything. It's just stuff. And so without it, now we can do more, right? You can take one radio show and put it in 12 places. We used to take one radio show and go, what are you doing? I got to upload this. You know, your phone with your modem, beep, beep, and it would dial. And now this has more technology than what we use to put a man on the moon, your cell phone. Technology is not going to kill us. When you know how to use it, it goes far. But remember, my grandmother told me, God rest her soul, before she died, don't ever use one of those phones. It's going to give you brain cancer. Okay, Grandma. And it didn't. What are your thoughts? 833-212-1017 is the number. You going forward and doing it or what? What are we doing? Because the bottom line is, it's not going away. And you can choose to use it. Well, I hate to say it. Or you can choose to die by it. But it is not going away. Listen. My 82-year-old mother-in-law uses a cell phone, texts, and uses FaceTime. If she can do it, you can do it.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Hey, Truth Nation, we've seen the headlines and the unfortunate stories of violence in our community. It's time we come together to make a difference and take a stand against the senseless violence occurring in our community. Join our third annual Truth Walk Against Violence, led by Tori Lowe, this Saturday, 12. That's the 12th. Not the 11th, not the 13th. Saturday, the 12th. Victory Over Violence Park, down MLK, right to our studio at 3rd Street Market Hall. Visit truthwalkagainstviolence.com. That's truthwalkagainstviolence.com. Right now, sign up for the walk. That's it. Just sign up. And if you don't, I'm going to come looking for you. Even if you're on YouTube chat, even if you're on the talking text, sign up. Come see us. All this is supported by 1MKE. That's Saturday, July 12th, 9 a.m. to noon. That's the 12th. I want to say thank you to our food sponsor, Cousin Subs. That's really why I'm showing up, because, you know, 1MKE and Cousin Subs. So, yeah. I'm just saying. 833-212-1017 is the number. So I saw a story that came out, and the story kind of threw me for a loop, because I want to see what the outcome is. Now, I'm quick to say each story is different. Each case is different. Each outcome is different. So that I understand. That I understand completely. However, I want to bring up a couple of stories that are close, and you tell me. Now, what I want you to do is not be cynical.
Well, you know, it's going to be, they're going to lock the black person up, and they're not going to lock the white person up. So,
yep. So, I want you to see that. All right? Yep. And so, here's the deal. Number one. Remember the Texas teen that was indicted for murder in the fatal stabbing of another student at a track meet, right? So a Texas grand jury has indicted a teenager for first-degree murder in the fatal stabbing of another teen at a track meet, in a case prosecutors say has, quote-unquote, shaken the community. The deadly stabbing occurred at Frisco Independent School District Stadium April 2nd during a track and field championship involving multiple schools in the district. Carmelo Anthony, a then 17-year-old student at Frisco Centennial High School, was arrested and charged with in the murder of Austin Metcalf, 17, an 11th grader at Frisco Memorial High School, who police said was stabbed during an altercation in the bleachers at the meet. Now, right away, they're trying to establish him being an adult when, in fact, he's not. He was 17 at the time of the stabbing. He was a high school senior, and this other kid was a junior. But they made sure they told you that Austin Metcalf was 17 and an 11th grader. Why didn't you tell us that Carmelo Anthony was 17 and a senior? Right? A grand jury has since indicted Anthony for first-degree murder, which is trash because they believe it was self-defense, right? Willis said his team had presented evidence for several weeks before the Collin County grand jury returned the indictment, a schedule. Now, I'm not shocked that he got indicted. He did stab the kid. He did have a knife that he may not have supposed to have. In Texas, 17-year-olds are considered adults, but he's still not an adult. He was 17, so you have to treat him as such. They said if convicted, he faces 99 years to life in prison. The teen has allegedly said, now it's alleged, allegedly said he acted in self-defense, according to court records, a claim also raised by his defense attorney. All right, got that? Now let's flip to Connecticut. A jury has deadlocked in the murder trial of a Fairfield, Connecticut high school lacrosse player who was killed during a booze-fueled brawl between students at a house party in May of 2022, signifying good news for the defense, one expert said. Raul Valle, V-A-L-E or Valle, now 20, is waiting to learn his fate after he allegedly stabbed James Jimmy McGrath, a 17-year-old Fairfield College Preparatory School athlete, to death at a house party. Valle was charged with one count of murder, two counts of first-degree assault. He was 16 at the time of McGrath's stabbing death. It's a great sign for the defendant, former U.S. attorney said to Fox Digital. Self-defense cases are notoriously challenging for prosecutors, especially a case like this. What do you mean a case like this? An 8-day trial, the jury deliberated for just a few hours on Monday morning before telling the judge they were hopelessly deadlocked on the murder charge. They were asked to deliberate on the lesser charges, saying they could revisit the murder charge later. And after afternoon, the jury was dismissed. They returned on Tuesday. They couldn't agree on the assault charges either. Why is that? I wonder. So during the party in Shelton, Connecticut, Valle said he witnessed his best friend Tyler DeSilva being attacked by teens from another school, jumped into the melee to protect his friend. He reportedly insisted during his testimony that he did not know he was going to the Shelton party until he arrived, and that on the ride over, his friend and driver Jack gave him a knife used in the stabbing. In 2023, Valle declined a plea deal that would have resulted in a 40-year prison sentence. So here's my issue. Why are we deadlocked about some kid who basically did the same thing? A drunken brawl and defended himself. Was it legal to carry a knife? Like, all those things have to be looked at. But now the jury is deadlocked. I wonder why. Why would the jury be deadlocked? Why? Why would the jury be deadlocked? I find it interesting that we're going to have to track both of these cases to see exactly what's going to happen. Now, I know they're different and the evidence is different and the defendants are different. You've got upscale Connecticut, and Frisco's no cheap community to live in either in Texas. But how's it going to swing? What's the outcome? But we come back. I want to talk about self-defense and what that really means. People say they understand and know about self-defense, but we're going to dive into it. Thoughts, questions, 833-212-1017 is the number. You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon.
Don't touch that dial. More of Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris is next on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is Truth in the Afternoon with Dr. Ken Harris on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
You're listening to Truth in the Afternoon. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 833-212-1017 is the number. Kwanda said, crying, I can only text to the talk on text line or the chat, and I prefer the chat if it's going down in the chat. I feel you. What's up, SE? What's going on? Let me see who's up in here. Clarissa. Al causing trouble. If you can afford it, buy it or have someone else pay for it. Self-preservation of self. Huh? Is that redundant? Self-preservation of self? Anyway. And I told him having someone else pay for it isn't self-preservation. It's giving somebody else power over you in the future, possibly. So I'm just saying. Miles said, good afternoon, chat fam. What's up? Hey, what's going on? I got my top five at five coming up, and I tried to keep it light today. It's so much drama going on in the world. But as I promised when I came back, I would talk about self-defense. Well, self-defense is not considered a privilege. It's a right. Generally recognized as a fundamental right under the law, allowing individuals to use reasonable force to protect themselves from imminent harm or in Wisconsin, threat of great bodily harm or death. While it is often referred to as an affirmative defense or a privilege in legal context, this terminology refers to the legal mechanism by which self-defense is asserted in court rather than applying it as a discretionary grant. So what that means is that it's an affirmative defense. That means the reason why I did what I did was because I was defending myself. So if you try to kill me and I kill you and I wasn't committing a crime, it's self-defense. In most jurisdictions, self-defense is recognized, meaning individuals have the right to defend themselves against unlawful threats of physical harm. Now, the threat has to be actionable. You telling me, Dr. Ken, I'm going to beat you up. Me defending myself when you didn't do anything may not constitute self-defense. There are a lot of factors that are taken into account when you look at that, like size, weapons, time of day, all those things together will dictate whether or not it's an affirmative defense. What that means, it's considered you have to present evidence that you were acting in self-defense and that the burden then shifts to the prosecution to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that it wasn't. That's it. The kid in Texas, was he defending himself? The fact that he had a knife and it was illegal or legal is irrelevant. Just like if you have a gun, like Rittenhouse, self-defense. Had a gun, wasn't supposed to have it. Not having it would have resulted in a citation. But he had it and he defended himself. People couldn't understand that because they couldn't see through race. They couldn't see through rioting. They couldn't see through George Floyd. Now, the issue we have is that those types of laws are always referred to and conferred upon people that don't look like me. And as long as it's applicable to everybody, right? But for some reason, many times they don't believe that black men and boys are using it reasonably. Why? Because they constantly paint us as adults. Even in simple media, they just happen to not state that the person was 17 years old. That the other kid was 17 years old too, and if they were committing a crime while making the kid defend himself, they were committing a felony as well. But we're pretending to leave that out because we want to taint the jury. We want to make sure everything goes against. And so here's my thing. When people say, you're racializing it and you're making it bigger than it is, well, then I say, from this point forward, all I would ask you to do is to prove me wrong.